How as the Lord would be pleased to help us. We would seek to consider words that we read together in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And we can read just now from verse 25. Verse 25, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Well, Christ here goes to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, which were heathen territory. They spoke Greek, but the people were descendants of the Canaanites, the Syro-Phoenician. Phoenicia was the country round about Tyre and Sidon, the great trading ports which are mentioned in the Old Testament, and Syro is Syria. But though they spoke Greek there, they were Canaanites. They were of the cursed race of Canaan. And that is where Christ was found. He wasn't found at this point among the Pharisees and the Jews in Judea, in Jerusalem. They were offended that he had exposed their hypocrisy and their formality and their covetousness. And now he is on the borders of the land of promise in heathen territory. And he's in a house, as we read in Mark's Gospel and Mark's account of this transaction, this wonderful miracle. And he could not be hid, though he didn't wish to be known. He could not be hid. And Christ cannot be hid. He will not be hid at a communion season. Grace must appear. Grace must profess. Grace must witness that Christ is in the house, that Christ is in the heart, that Christ is in the life. And they couldn't stay away from him who had diseases and trials and afflictions and pains and sorrows. They came to Christ, and here this woman of Canaan, this Syro-Phoenician woman, she has heard of Christ, and she comes to him in all her terrible need. And we believe that this is one of the most wonderful examples of faith in the whole of the Bible. She is a triumphant and wonderful example of the power of true faith. Yes, she had the faith of miracles. She knew that Christ was able to heal her beloved daughter. But she had more than that. She had true saving faith in Christ. Her language, her speech betrayeth her. And if you have a grain of saving faith, friend, and if you have a desire for a crumb from the Master's table this night in your soul, a crumb of blessing, for yourself, for your daughter, for your loved ones, for the Church of God, for an approaching communion season, then the least mercy of God will be a very great mercy to you. And you will be finding how unworthy you are of it, as she was. But you will not be able to cease to cry for a blessing. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now, we notice first of all that faith comes to Christ for deliverance, for help in time of need. And the Lord, when he has a purpose of mercy for a soul, he will give burdens, he will give needs that they never had before. He's doing that continually with his people and giving them afflictions and trials. But he does it with the sinner coming to Christ for the first time. And sin and death and eternity, these things become great burdens. They never were before. So this woman had a burden for her daughter. The daughter was under the power of Satan. And we believe that these possessions, these demon possessions at the time of Christ, they were the devil's attempt to subvert the work of Christ, the miraculous power of Christ and the coming of Christ's kingdom. And as one and others perhaps have said, that the devil could not replicate the great miracle of God being manifest in the flesh, the miracle of two natures in one person forever. But he came as near as he could to counterfeit the coming of God into the race of man in the person of Christ by seeking to take possession of the bodies of men. That was a satanic assault to defile the sons of men at the time when God had come to take possession of his people, and Christ taking possession of our nature, and Christ saving his people in the great work of redemption. The devil is active. And where the devil is active, friend, he's opposing the work of God. And you don't need to think, if you're going to get a blessing, as this woman got a blessing, that the devil will not be seeking to oppose it. The devil, the more you're on a throne of grace, the more needs you have taken to the throne of grace, the more opposition you will find from within and without. But she came to Christ, and that is a great wonder, that she came to Christ. She was a heathen. She wasn't a Jewess. She had very little knowledge. She wasn't even like the woman of Samaria, who had some knowledge of the Bible. This woman would have likely known very little, but what she knew was sufficient to bring her to the feet of Christ. And that's the great matter in faith, friend. It's not how much understanding we have. It's not how much knowledge we have. It's not the quantity of it. It's the quality of it. Is it real saving knowledge? Is it real saving faith in Christ? And this woman abundantly evidenced that it was so in her case. She comes to Christ. And she cries to Christ. She has nowhere else to go. The disciples, they cannot cast this kind out. They can't do anything for her. They're saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Send her away with a blessing. Give her what she wants. If she's a hindrance, if she's in the way of us returning to the land of Israel, leave her with a parting blessing and let's be going. That's what they're saying. On the surface, it seems that they're more compassionate than Christ himself. But no, it is not so. O Lord, thou Son of David. That shows us that she had saving faith in Christ because she knew that he was the true Messiah, even though she was not of the race of Jacob herself. She was looking to the Messiah for the blessing that she needed, the Son of David. Ah, dear friend, you have many needs tonight, however aware you are or not of them. You have the great needs of your soul. You have many needs in providence. Are you crying out as this woman cried out? Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Are you crying to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what saving faith does. It cries. It comes to Christ. And now we see also, and this is the most, perhaps the most wonderful thing in the whole transaction here, is that true saving faith perseveres. It perseveres in the face of the most dreadful obstacles, in the face of seemingly insurmountable difficulties and hindrances in the way. She was not only a Canaanite, She was not only a subject in the person of her own daughter to the assaults of the evil one, and how she felt that as a loving mother. She was not only unable to obtain a blessing from the hands of the disciples of Christ, but here, look at this. How does Christ himself deal with her? Verse 23, he answered her not a word. She came, she prayed for mercy, for a blessing, for a deliverance. She's coming to the compassionate Saviour. She's coming to the one who alone can help her. She's coming to the one of whom she has heard so much, who has compassion on the multitudes, who does these great works of mercy. But oh, there's no word from Christ for her. It appears as though he has no purpose of mercy for her, and he is silent. He has shut up his compassion against her. It's a terrible thing if God is silent to your soul, friend. Be not silent to me, says David, lest I be like those that go down to the pit. And if you have been made to cry for something at a throne of grace, and you feel you're never getting an answer and never getting a deliverance, the silence of heaven is a very painful, the protracted, agonizing wait for a blessing, and it never seems to come, and the circumstances seem to get worse and worse. That is a fearful trial. But that is exactly why Christ was dealing with the woman like this. He knew that she had true saving faith. It was his spirit that was working in her heart. He knew what she had. He will not tempt his people beyond what they are able to bear. He knew that she had great faith, and therefore she must be subject to a great trial of faith. The answers are not a word. And think of this, dear friends. If Christ is to give this woman a blessing, if Christ is to give her the grace of saving faith in exercise to obtain a great blessing here, if Christ is to give you the blessing that you need for eternity, he must know the silence of God. He must know what it is to cry to God and not be heard. That was Christ's experience in the darkness of his sufferings on Calvary. That's what he was going to go into, a far greater distress, a far greater darkness and desolation than this woman was feeling, without minimizing her sufferings. All day, my God, I cry to thee, yet am not heard by thee, and in the seasons of the night I cannot silent be. He was roaring like a beast in a trap. That's what we have. That's the picture in Psalm 22. Christ roaring in agony of soul because he was not heard as he bore the sins of this woman and of all his people on the cross of Calvary. Christ knows the silence of heaven. And therefore, if you know anything of that, when you're asking for something at the throne of grace, for the salvation of your soul, for the salvation of your loved ones, for a blessing, for a deliverance, for relief, for help, whatever it is, Christ, though he appears to be silent, he is hearing, and he knows the trial. He is the one who is ordaining that trial to bring out the gold. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. As Rabbi Duncan says in one of his sermons, the gold tried in the fire. He says, if the gold could speak, if you have a crucible in the olden days when they were refining gold, and they would heat the gold in a fining pot under the fire, over the fire, And he was saying, if the gold in the fining pot could cry out, it would say, I don't like this heat. I don't like this heat. But the refiner of the gold would say, but I have an exhibition day, and we haven't reached the day of exhibition yet. And when I've tried you, you will come forth as gold, as pure unalloyed gold. But we feel the heat. We're not like a senseless metal. We feel the heat. The Lord's people feel the heat. This woman felt the heat of the trial. And he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was preaching to her here the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. He was showing her that God's mercy comes not to all mankind indiscriminately, although he is good to all men in temporal things. But God's saving mercies are for the Israel of God. And she acquiesces in this. She doesn't complain. She doesn't murmur against it. She accepts it. And if you are to get a blessing, dear friend, you and I, we have to come to this, that God is sovereign in the bestowal of his grace. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion, the divine will. Therefore it is not of him that runneth, or of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. The lost sheep of the house of Israel, oh, does that exclude her? Does that shut her up? Does she go away in despair, hopelessly? No, saving faith cannot leave Christ. Whatever discouragement she gets, whatever darkness seems to be ahead of her, no. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's been brought to an end of herself. I have no help of man at all. But Lord, help me. There's tremendous force and tremendous eloquence in these words. They're not long. It's not a long prayer. But it's a prayer that was music, we might say, in the heart of Christ. It was heard in heaven. It was heard in the heart of Christ. Lord, help me. And sometimes that's all you've got, dear friend, just a groan, just a few words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. Help me. How does Christ respond to this? Verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. There he is, the sovereignty of God again. There are children. And it's almost as though she might infer unbelief, would say, well, I cannot be one of the children if he's speaking to me like this. And I have no right to this bread. It belongs to the people of God. And maybe that's what you're saying with regard to the gospel, friend. That I'll never be saved if I'm not in the elect of God. There's no hope for me. Maybe you're saying, I've sought the Lord many days. I haven't found him. I'm crying. I'm saying, help me, but he's not hearing me. Maybe he has no purpose of mercy for me. Not meet to take the children's bread, the food, the gospel, the salvation of God, the hope of glory, eternal life, spiritual food, Christ and him crucified. The living bread that came down from heaven. This is the... If she can't get a taste of that bread, she will perish. If she can't get a taste of the divine power and mercy of God, her child will perish. Not meat to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. You're just a Canaanite. You're of the cursed race. You're not an Israelite. There's no hope for you, she might conclude. Ah, but Christ is testing her. And so we see that saving faith will persevere even in the face of the most severe difficulties, insurmountable difficulties. By my God assisting me, I overleap a wall. And that's exactly what she does here. She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Now there's tremendous mental vigour and ingenuity in her response. She was obviously a woman of high intelligence. But that's the very least of it. There is a wonderful display here of the power of saving faith. The dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I may be a dog, an outcast, an unclean beast, a dead dog, as Mephibosheth said of himself. I may be a Canaanite, a Gentile. I may not be of the Israel of God in the national sense. But I need a crumb from the master's table. I need a blessing. And I'm not worthy of the least of these mercies. I'm not worthy of one of these crumbs. Truth. But she cannot stay away. And you notice, by the way, here, how when a soul is trusting in the Lord and you're exercising faith in him, it humbles the soul. There's no room for pride when faith is being exercised. When you're seeing how needy you are, when you're seeing how poor you are, when you're casting all your hope and confidence in his mercy alone, this has a humbling effect. Let Christ say what he will. I'm the greatest sinner. I'm the most unworthy wretch. I'm the most vile creature on the face of the earth. With us he dealt not as we sinned, nor did requite our ill. It's of his mercies that we are not consumed. Can you say that tonight, friend? You don't deserve a crumb. Truth, Lord, I acquiesce in all that thou hast said, yet just one crumb from the master's table, one intimation of thy power to bless my dear child, to bless my soul, and I will be sufficed with that. The crumbs, just a crumb. There's no such thing as a small mercy coming from an infinite God. If you are a great sinner, if you are in great need, then every mercy that you receive is a great mercy. Every mercy that God's people have is purchased in the blood of Christ, and it is a great mercy. Oh, that men to the Lord would give praise for his goodness then, and for his works of wonder done unto the sons of men. A crumb. Is that not what you are looking for at a communion season? A crumb from the master's table. I do not say that you will be at the Lord's table. It would be good if all of the people of God were at his table, and none but them. But there's no perfect division. And sometimes the Lord's dear people haven't the strength to profess his name publicly. We wish it were otherwise. But the main thing for us is this. Are we seeking a crumb for our souls? Just a grain. It's the bread of life. It's the whole doctrine of the person and work of Christ. That is what brings life to the soul. That is what brings deliverance. That is what sustains life and will take the soul to heaven, a taste of a crumb of the gospel table. That without that, we cannot go to the Lord's table. But if you got a taste, dear friend, that the Lord is gracious in the person and work of Christ, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, what a crumb! There's infinite, eternal, unchangeable glory and blessedness in that crumb to get a taste of Christ. You get a taste of him once, dear friend. You'll be longing for more and more of these crumbs all your days. Just a little word in season. Just a little hope. Just a little encouragement. Just an intimation, however long it may take, that the Lord will give you the deliverance that you need. Would that not be a blessing indeed? But I see how wonderfully Christ eventually, it revealed his mercy towards her. It was an instantaneous cure. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Sometimes the Lord makes his people wait a long time. Sometimes he gives a blessing very quickly. He is wise. He knew how to deal with her. The great trial got a great outcome. Great faith was rewarded with a great deliverance. O woman, great is thy faith. Christ only said of great faith. He only said that twice. And both those whom he commended for their faith were Gentiles, the centurion and the Syrophoenician woman. He never commended a Jew ever for their faith, but he upbraided the Jews for their unbelief. He marveled at their hardness of heart. And he commended this dear woman, whose faith was able to come through all these trials and obtain a great victory. And you who are here tonight, and you dare not think of yourself in the same category as this woman for the greatness of her faith. You're complaining of the littleness of your faith. But can you not say, do you not desire to say with the woman up there in Sutherland, who they call the woman of great faith, she said, no, I'm a woman of little faith in a great Saviour. And that's what the Lord's people are. They have a great Saviour, and he is worthy to be trusted. And whatever your fears, spiritually and temporally, are tonight, dear friend, and especially in view of a communion season, oh, come, in spite of all his silences and all the hindrances, and cry to him that you too would get a blessing, a crumb from the Master's table. May the Lord bless his word to us. Oh, blessed one, do thou remember us in our poverty and need. Do thou enable us in thy gracious kindness to cry to thee that thou wouldst hear our poor and feeble petitions, that thou wouldst heal the daughter of thy people. Wherefore is the health of the daughter of my people not recovered? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? O, blessed be thy name, that thou art the great healer. Thou art the great physician of soul and body. And thou art able to do for us above all that we can ask or think. Oh, bless and pity us. Grant us that faith to overcome and to endure unto the end. Thou didst give Simeon a faith to lay hold of Christ, not only in the body, but in his soul. Thou didst give faith to Jacob to wrestle with thee all the night of his trouble. And oh, do thou give thy dear afflicted people grace in their darkness and confusion, to persevere at a throne of grace, and to come away as more than conquerors through him that loved them. Prepare us for solemn duties ahead. Remember all in special need, from the unborn to those who are on the threshold of eternity, in old age and suffering. O Blessed One, remember us each and the mourning among us. Solemnize us from the youngest to the oldest. Take away our many sins and accept of us. Take us to our homes in safety, only for Jesus' sake. Amen.